Welcome to the Provincetown Shelter in Place Order question and answer session. I'm Amy Davies from Provincetown Community Television. This remote session is taking place on April 1st, 2020 at 7 p.m. Before we begin, I would like to stress the importance of muting your phone or computer microphone when you are not speaking. Currently, you can hear open microphones and speakerphones cause interference in the call and makes it difficult for everyone to hear. Please also mute any televisions or computer speakers before you speak. You can press star 6 to unmute to ask your question. The panel will take questions from callers and also answer questions submitted in advance by email. The call-in is scheduled to last 1 hour, so duplicate email questions have been combined. We have panelists from... If everyone could please mute their phone. We'll have to wait until everyone mutes their phone. We have panelists from the Select Board, Board of Health, town staff, Outer Cape Health Services, and also state and county officials. Now I'll turn it over to Chair of Select Board, David Abramson, to open the call-in.
Hi, good evening. Welcome to the call. This evening, our panelists are our state representatives, Sarah Peek and Senator Julian Sear. From Barnstable County, we have Sean O'Brien, who is from the Department of Health and also the Chief Health Officer and also the Emergency Preparedness Coordinator. We have Pat Nadel, who is the CEO of Outer Cape Health Services, Town Manager Robin Craver, and I don't think I've forgotten any, and Steve Katsarenas and Susan Troyan from the Board of Health. So I'll turn it back over to Amy because she has some questions first for our state representatives.
Yes, this one is for our state representatives. Unemployment assistance has been expanded by the federal government to cover self-employed people. What's going on with Massachusetts? I'm a hairstylist in Provincetown. The state unemployment website has no information. Please let me know what the state has planned for people like me.
So I can take that. This is Sarah Peek here. Can you guys hear me?
We can.
Yep. Yes.
Hold on. Yeah.
But now we can't.
All right. I just muted and unmuted myself. Sorry about the bad technology there. So let me take that question about unemployment insurance, because it's something both the senator and I have been working on, but I was able to be on a conference call this afternoon with Senator Warren and Senator Markey, and I raised the question about unemployment insurance for independent contractors, people like you who are hairstylists, people who drive for Uber and Lyft, people who are independent contractors, basically anybody who doesn't receive a W-2 form currently under the law is ineligible to receive unemployment insurance. But there's help on the way. So the federal government 4 days ago signed into law the CARES Act, C-A-R-E-S Act. And there's a provision in there that broadens the eligibility for who can collect unemployment insurance to include just about everybody who works. So hairstylists, independent photographers, event planners and promoters, landscapers, you name it, everybody will be included. It's unfortunate that the state website has not been updated. But here is what is happening in order for that to happen. Unemployment insurance is administered state by state. So what we are waiting for is the federal government is writing guidelines. So what happens is a bill gets passed, and then guidelines or regulations have to get written. Those guidelines will be sent to each of the 50 states, including us here in Massachusetts, will tell us how we figure out how much somebody made, when they were working, and what their benefit is going to be. So when we get the guidelines, the information will be updated on the state website. They will do some software programming to reprogram the state website to include this broad eligibility for everybody to be able to apply for unemployment insurance. I asked Senator Warren how long that was going to take to come, because you're not the only one asking me this. Julian and I are receiving scores of emails and questions a day about this, because we know people are desperate. You know, they have no money coming in. They have no way to work. Her answer was she thought it would be about 2 weeks' time. So if you can hold on, it's about 2 weeks. We should get the state site up and running. And there's important parts of this unemployment legislation by the federal government. Not only does it broaden who can collect, but for everybody who is collecting, it adds $600 per week to your benefit. So in Massachusetts, your benefit could be as high as $1,423 a week. And some of you are about to run out of your benefits that you applied for in October or November. It also extends the length that benefits can be paid. So when it gets fully implemented, we're going to be able to cover people for a longer period of time. The benefit will be more generous, and the number of people who are eligible will increase significantly. Now, while you're hanging on by the skin of your teeth, I would encourage you, if you want to reach out to either the senator's office or my office, our staff can help connect you with other programs that are available, either being offered by nonprofits right here on the Cape to help people who are suffering from food insecurity, who need help making rent or mortgage payments. There are other ways that, we can help keep you from the precipice of bankruptcy, basically. So I would encourage people to reach out to either my office or the senator's. My phone number, I'll give it to you now, 617-722-2040. And if Julian wants to add anything to that or give you his number, that would be great.
I would just say my office number, which goes directly to our team, is 617-722-1570.
Okay. So there's another question. Another question for our reps. I wanted to ask how the $200,000 in DPH money expected by the end of the week is divided among the towns. Is it property valuation or population? And how does this help or hurt Provincetown? How much is Provincetown expected to get?
What I couldn't really get, this is what, all right, DPH money. Julian, I'm not familiar with this. Do you want to answer it?
Yes, so this is federal funding around local health dollars. And that's a good question. We don't know. We're trying to work both in the House and the Senate to get a sense of what these federal dollars are, and we'll take that question and we'll get an answer. And Robin, if you want to let us know who asked that question, we can get back to you.
If I may, we're going to announce later that we will be putting all of the questions in writing. So if you would just send that to me, I will get that information into our question and answer.
I don't know if we're going to know for some time. This is a fast moving situation, and it's unclear how federal dollars are going to flow. We expect that with existing programs that have existing procurements or contracts with various state agencies, those dollars will be able to move more quickly than for more novel initiatives. But the good news is that state government provides support to local boards of health all the time. So hopefully that's the mechanism that moves more quickly.
Thank you.
I'd just like to take a moment to remind everyone to please mute your phone if you're not speaking. And David, back to you.
Yes, Julian or Sarah, is there anything else you would like to add or say to the people that are listening that you like to get out to everybody?
Yeah, I'll jump in again, if that's all right, Senator, if you don't mind.
Please do.
Thank you. Just to address some common themes that through my email and social media contact with people that I have heard from all of you. First of all, when I jumped on this call, I heard people concerned about where to get information from. So the town website is a resource, but I would encourage people to use the mass.gov website, mass.gov website. And as soon as you log on, there is a big yellow banner across the top that says COVID-19. You can click on that. Things are listed there sort of in chronological order. The governor every day is doing a press conference. If you miss it when it's on TV, because unfortunately it's at different times of the day, sometimes it's at noon, today it was at 3:30 and actually was later than that before it started, you can read about what he had to say right there. If you want to read a specific order that he has issued, that information is right there. Questions about unemployment insurance, that information is there. Questions about the daily count and results of the testing that has been done statewide is there. It's broken down by county. It's broken down by gender. It's broken down by age group. Anyway, there is a plethora of information that's available at mass.gov. The other thing I wanted to touch on is a number of people have reached out regarding concern that people are renting homes and condos to use as a vacation rental, and that that's bringing people from outside of the Cape area to come here, and some of them may be bringing the infection with them. So yesterday, the governor issued an order, and you can find it on the mass.gov website, that basically prohibits the use of all accommodations, hotels, motels, bed and breakfast, Airbnb rentals, VRBO, short-term rentals, for any sort of vacation or recreational purposes. They are only allowing those types of rentals to be used for out-of-state workers who are engaged in transportation and materials, logistics, delivery of healthcare-related services related to COVID-19, essential workforce people here in Massachusetts, accommodations for Massachusetts residents who have to isolate or self-quarantine. And, you know, maybe they live with somebody in a studio apartment, so they need to get out of that studio apartment to self-quarantine. Families or roommates of individuals who are self-isolating. And housing accommodations for individuals receiving long-term specialized medical care from a physician located within the Commonwealth, and housing accommodation and shelter when required by extenuating circumstances such as fire or casualty to ensure the care and security of Massachusetts residents and to accommodate other persons unable to return to their homes due to flight cancellations, border closures, or other direct and material constraints of travel. So those who are worried that people are coming here or are going to come here and rent a place to basically be on vacation in Provincetown, that is now illegal. And it is illegal during the entire term of the state of the emergency, which takes us through the 4th of May. So I know that that is something that, that people were concerned about. I have posted that advisory up on my Facebook page yesterday, right after he made this pronouncement. So you can get the specifics of it there. And I think this will go a long ways towards addressing people's fears and concerns about people who may be coming to the region, fleeing where they live, where there might be a higher incidence of the COVID-19.
Thank you. Sarah or Julian, would it be okay if we asked for a question from the callers?
Sure.
I wasn't sure how much time you... Do we have anybody that wishes to ask a question? Please state your name. If you're muted, just hit *6 to unmute and state your name and I'll recognize you. Any questions?
Hello, this
first?
Is Rob.
Yes.
In Provincetown, our student tours. And I just kind of read something, possibly they might be closing the national parks for the
Hello?
Entire pandemic. Do you know any more information about that?
So I don't know if everybody heard the question. The question was from Art Student Tours if they heard that the seashore was going to be closing.
All national parks. I heard all national parks will be closing.
So, Rob, it's good to hear your voice. I hope you and Rob are staying well. Don't get to see you on the street, but it's nice to hear your voice and through my earbud here. I have not heard that. I just finished watching the news. I'm pretty clued into newspapers and stuff. The last I heard, our park superintendent said he does not intend to close the park. He understands the importance of people being able to get out and exercise and find solace and comfort in nature and stretch our legs and not just be in our homes the whole time. There are some parks that have closed, like Yosemite, I know, has closed, and several others. But I think so far anyway, and I will, I can certainly check with the Cape Cod National Seashore tomorrow during business hours and see what their intentions are. But the last that I heard, they were not intending to close the park. And I actually had a conversation with the Lieutenant Governor about closing state beaches just yesterday. And they were contemplating closing the parking lots at the state beaches, but stepped back from that. If you watch the governor's press conference yesterday, what he said is he's asking people to please abide by the social distancing guidelines and recommendations. And if you go to the beach, don't hang out with a group of 10 people close to each other around a beach campfire. That's not why the beach is there. The beach is there for you and your loved ones who you are sheltering with, to be able to go there, to walk, to enjoy the sunset, all the things we love, why we live here in Provincetown. My hope is, so long as people follow social distancing guidelines, we'll be able to have our park open, we'll be able to use the place that we love. But if it's seen that there's widespread disregard for what the recommendations are, I think we might all face a broad brush sweeping of closing the park. So I ask people also to please be conscious of this. We're only as strong as the weakest link as we go through all of this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Was there another question out there? I heard somebody wanted to start to speak. Just state your name.
Yes, this is Shira Kavan.
Sure, go ahead.
Hi. I had a question for Representative Peek regarding the how one proceeds if one knows of a situation where someone is renting to a vacationer. I understand that the governor says it's illegal, but what are the teeth in that measure, please?
Sure. It's a local enforcement measure, so I'm going to let Dave answer this. My first reaction, if I saw that, I'd call the Board of Health and I'd call the building department and make them aware of it. But maybe that's not the right answer. Dave, I'll let you answer.
And Sarah, we just put out some guidance on that today. And if you're going to be on the call for a little bit, maybe we can let the state reps answer a few more questions so they can go. I know they have some things they need to tend to. But we will answer that on this call tonight.
Of course, no problem.
Thank you. Any other questions for our state representatives?
This is Stephen Cohen. I have a question.
Sure.
Regarding, hi there. Does the town government in Provincetown have the authority to have regulations that are more stringent than the emergency declaration made by the Massachusetts governor? For instance, a requirement for all workers in stores to have masks and gloves, and even for all people shopping to have at least a bandana or something covering their face.
I can answer that if you want, Sarah, because we've actually dealt with this much more in a pretty broad way. On Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket, which are, if we think we're isolated, we're almost on an island out here. They are on islands. So the enforcement of much of these mechanisms in the executive order falls to the local level. And so if the local municipality feels that they cannot enforce what is in the executive order, they are able to go further. So the example that we've worked on relates to construction on Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket. And the towns felt they couldn't enforce the provisions in the executive order around requiring, hand washing at construction sites and other criteria. And so the towns are able to go further. So that authority lies with the Board of Health, who has the authority to go further. I think what we are hoping, though, is to have, the reason why we have these executive orders and even in the legislation working to pass, is to have universal guidance across the Commonwealth so that we're able to respond in a uniform way. So I think if there is an instance or something you feel that It is in the executive order that is not able to be enforced at the town level, then it would be up to the Board of Health to address that.
Okay, thank you.
Do we have any other questions for the state representatives?
Yes, hi, I have a question. Hello?
Yes.
My name is Dr. Mike McWill. I have a question. I'm noticing from all the different websites and Facebook pages that I'm not seeing numbers of cases in Provincetown, and I'd be interested in knowing why that's not the case. But also, I think more importantly, is given what we understand about the cases in Provincetown, is there evidence of community-acquired transmission? Yes.
So updated guidance from the Department of Public Health recommended that towns do not release individual figures, and that figures are going to be released by the Department of Public Health on a county basis. The towns, it's a recommendation, so the towns are able to go further. You guys are so lucky and fortunate to have a wonderful Board of Health, an amazing health department, and so I would defer to their guidance there. I'll just speak personally as someone who lives out here and just knows our community. I think it's clear that we're seeing community spread occur at some level in every community on Cape Cod, every community I represent. I think a part of that's reflective of the fact that we have a transient population that travels, and people, particularly this time of year, are trying to get out of Dodge, and I think have a number of our exposures have come from that, and so I think I would defer to the health department and to the Board of Health on the exact analysis of that. But I think it's safe to say that we are having some level of community spread happen in every community. That's why the social distancing measures are so essential. That's why anyone who's returning home to town needs to quarantine for 14 days, and that's why all those measures are essential. So we're seeing community spread, but how much?
Julian, do you mind if I let
determine whether or not people comply? Sure, please have the health department get in.
Well, actually, I'm going to ask our town manager, because our health department is going to follow the guidelines of the county, but our town manager is posting things on our page, so I'll let her speak. Robin.
Yes, thank you. In answer to that, you are correct. The state has given a recommendation. Some of the towns, before the state recommendation came out, had started giving out the numbers, and we felt that that was important here for Provincetown members and residents to give that information out. We still believe that's important, and certainly we have had some internal discussions and decided that we will continue to put the numbers out. As far as whether or not they are travel-related or community-related, I don't have that information. We are also going to be, it's important that the Board of Health maintain a certain level of distance from any information flowing regarding cases that they are looking at. So I will be taking care of that, but I will be putting those numbers up, and you can find them on the town's website. If you click in the box on the front page and then go to more information, there is a pink box there that is updated daily with our amounts. It tells you there's two numbers. One number you will find that says how many active cases we have, and I'm really happy to say this week we now have a second number on there, which are the cases that have been cleared and they are no longer a part of our number. But we did think that instead of just having them disappear, we wanted to make sure that you knew that some are coming on, some are coming off, and that people are recovering. And I will say we have no deaths. So that might be a third number we would add, but at this point we're not, and we don't have that. So I don't have any other information besides how many are active and how many have come off. Those are that's the only information that will be coming from us.
Thank you, Rob.
I'm sorry, hold on
yep. for a moment. We do have a lot of questions that have been sent in as well. So I don't know if our state reps are going to stay on, but I think I might turn it back over to Amy to ask some of the questions that we have before we go back to the public again. And I also would like to thank Sarah Pekin-Tillian-Sear for joining us.
This is Stephen Cohen. The answer we just received from the town manager is incomplete as far as my knowledge goes. And I think I have heard of community contagion, specifically SCIP. And I think the doctor's question merits a more extensive answer.
What's your name?
Carrie Purcell, yeah.
That's the only information that I'm going to be reporting on. So the county is actually giving those breakdowns. So there are breakdowns, but that is only by county. I do not have that for the town of Provincetown.
Okay. I'm not sure if the board, if this is Stephen Cohen again, just in reference to the response. I'm not sure if the Board of Health has further information, but it's my understanding that there has been person-to-person contagion within Provincetown, specifically regarding SCIP. And I'm surprised that the town manager doesn't have information about that.
That's a different question.
I think we can just move on from this topic, quite frankly.
Okay,
I'm going to ask everybody to...
Why?
So I'm going to ask everybody to please hold on. If you're not speaking or have been recognized, please do not speak. Wait for you to be recognized. So the question about SCIP is one of the questions we had come in and will be answered this evening.
Okay, thank you.
So I will turn this over to Amy to ask some of the questions that have come in, and then we'll go to the public. I know some of the questions that came in, we have quite a list. If we don't get to all of them, town staff will have answers to these, and they will post them online on the website and also on social media with the answers to the questions to make sure they get answered if we run out of time this evening. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Amy, and I'll also thank our state rep, Sarah Pekin-Tillian-Sear, for joining us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
unfortunately, have a good night. We have a conference call we've got to jump on to, but great to hear from everybody. And so just forward any questions. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time.
The next question is, Outer Cape Health is our first line of defense. Please give us an update on Outer Cape financial status. Will they be here when we need them? Assuming Outer Cape Health is functioning at normal capacity, what role is Outer Cape Health prepared to play in a large-scale emergency? We know they don't have ICU beds or ICU doctors there. What is their plan to best assist the community and Cape Cod Hospital?
And is Pat Nadel still on the line from Outer Cape Health, the chief executive?
I am on the line.
Would you like to answer the question, Pat?
I certainly will. Hi to everybody tonight. Thanks for the question. Obviously, Outer Cape Health is prepared to respond and work with the town and the other agencies to be of assistance. We are working right now internally on how to support our EMS in their quest to, if in the event that folks have to be transported on a basis down to Hyannis, how we can be a support for an interim period so that that could be helpful for folks. So our staff is working on that and making sure we have the supplies and equipment available. I think this person who asked the question, no, we do not have ICU beds or ventilators, but we certainly can help support and help our EMS folks so that we may be able to also, for those patients who may have to, who are non-COVID, who may be able to be treated in our site and not go to the emergency room, we are exploring how we can keep those folks in the community and not have to go down to Hyannis. We are working closely with Cape Cod Hospital and Barnstable County as they look to prepare for the surge as we anticipate in the next 2 weeks. There'll be additional beds opening, how we can redeploy staff, how we can share and keep patients out of the emergency rooms so that we can keep them in our sites or help treat them in our sites and not have them go there. So we've got lots of plans in place right now, and hope that we, particularly for our, the Provincetown community, because of the distance factor, how we can be there in an appropriate way. As I said before, we cannot be a hospital, but we can certainly help to support the process of patient care and transportation as needed.
Thank you.
Would you like me to continue with the emailed questions?
Yes, please.
Okay. There was a report of the coronavirus outbreak at Skip. What danger might this pose to people who have gotten meals there? Do we have a doctor sitting in the town administrator's meetings or providing advice to the town government? Please confirm or clarify whether Skip workers have been infected. The date of infection was recognized and steps people should take who received lunches from the soup kitchen.
Would either Steve Katsourinis or Susan Troyan from the Board of Health like to answer that?
This is Steve Katsourinis from the Board of Health, and I can't discuss active cases or when and how people may have been infected for a variety of reasons under federal and state law. However, the thing that we can tell you is that the Board of Health has, even before this virus emerged, been working very closely with all of our licensees who provide food prepared either for takeout or for delivery, and that in every case we have great partnerships. The restaurants and the nonprofits that are feeding people in town do an exceptional job. They maintain the highest standards, and we work closely with them. In the case of Skip particularly, we have worked very closely with them over the past couple of weeks to make sure that the food and how it's prepared and the people who work there are given the maximum amount of protection. And they have been extremely cooperative in all of that, and we have done everything we can to make sure that the people who work there are safe. And I can assure you that the food that has been served from Skip and from other nonprofits and from other restaurants in town is all safe, meets all federal guidelines. And not only that, but people are exceeding the guidelines where they can, working when they see a potential problem to voluntarily close certain modalities. So some of our partners have closed completely because they didn't feel that they could do what was needed. Others have chosen to reduce walk-in and only do delivery. And others have done some creative things with contactless payment and delivery. And across the board, we have cooperation, and we have a really strong sense of partnership with the licensees. And people should know that if there were problems, which we've not had, that we would act decisively to protect the public health and safety, as we have always done.
Thank you. Amy, why don't you ask the next question, and then we'll go to a question from the callers.
Okay. Please explain what the town of Provincetown and region will do if there are more patients than beds in the hospital. What is the region's response? Will Provincetown open its own shelter? Are you doing modeling to estimate the number of sick in our region, and what's the plan?
And I'll ask our town manager, Robin Craver, to answer.
Yes, I'd like to, we've been working very closely with the state and the county, and we are fortunate to have on the call Sean O'Brien, who is the Barnstable County Health Director. He's also been working closely with MEMA, as well as he is the emergency management person, director for the county. And part of what we've been working on has been county solutions, and I'd like him to answer some of those questions and let people know what the plan is.
Sure. Thank you, Robin. Again, my name is Sean O'Brien. I'm the director of the County Health Department. Since the beginning of this, we've been working quite closely with KFAD Healthcare to look at a couple of different things here within Barnstable County. The first thing that we identified was actually developing a drive-up clinic at Cape Cod Community College for the region, and we're able to get that up and running in a pretty short amount of time. We've been working closely with Cape Cod Hospital and Falmouth Hospital under Cape Cod Healthcare and looking at surge. We've identified a couple of locations that could benefit us here, one on the Mid-Cape, one on the Upper-Cape. We're still starting to look at licensing and capacities and everything, but quite honestly, they should be able to provide us between what can be added within the hospitals and what can be added on these surge sites, the capacity that we may need to treat COVID patients. Cape Cod Hospital has been very forthcoming and very very progressive on trying to get this done, and hopefully within the next few days, we should be able to identify the locations and make sure that everything is licensed and ready to go should it be needed. So we're continuing to plan and continuing to work with the 15 communities and the Cape Cod Healthcare on this.
Mr. Chair, I know there's been a lot of questions about plan, and we have more information, but people might want to ask Sean some questions before we go on to the next question. I would suggest we open it up.
Sure, and I'll just remind anybody that's on the call, if you don't think we can hear you, we can. So please mute your phone using *6, and I'll ask if anybody has a question for Sean O'Brien from Barnstable County Health Department. Just say your name and I'll recognize you and you can answer your question.
Hi, this is Stephen Cohen.
Sure, go ahead.
Very brief question. Are there specific criteria in terms of the drive-through clinic? Does one need approval from primary care physician? Say someone knows someone feeling flu symptoms, etc. You know, what are the criteria needed to pass through the drive-through? Light on.
Sure. You do need to use the drive-through clinic. You do need to have either a prescription or a doctor's note from your primary care physician. What they will do is then send that in to Cape Cod Healthcare. Cape Cod Healthcare will contact you to schedule it and give you a time to go through the drive-through. They are not. You have to have an appointment in order to use the drive-through.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for Mr. O'Brien?
Yes. My name is Deb Elam, Provincetown resident.
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm on day 9 of being pretty sick, and I feel like today is the first day that I've gotten better. I've been quarantined the whole time. My fever has broken, and I didn't get tested because I took the advice of my primary care physician at Outer Cape Health, who is excellent. And he said, listen, you know, you'd have to go to Wellfleet for it. They're not going to do anything for you, one way or the other than send you home. So I feel like I've probably got another 4 days, 5 days before I'm feeling better. But I'm not part of the statistics because I'm somebody that's sitting at home and didn't get tested because we didn't have that many tests on the Cape, and I thought they should be saved for first responders, healthcare workers, you know, people like that that really needed them. But what I would like is to have, and I don't know what it entails, the antibody test when I come out of this. So I could tell, like, did I really have it or was it just some horrible flu? But I'm relatively certain that I have it. So what is the follow-up once I'm feeling better, you know, to find out for myself and also to be somebody that's included in the 16 that are now listed on the Provincetown government website?
Well, my guess on that, and just let me preface everything where I'm not a physician, what I can do is if you got in touch and keep in touch with your primary care on it, and hopefully we can maybe try to, when that information becomes available, if they are going to do such trials and they are looking for doing those tests, we can try to reach out to you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Hope you feel better soon. Do we have any other questions for Mr. O'Brien?
This is Ed Lehman. I have a question for the Outer Cape folks.
Sure, go ahead.
Great. So what can we do to help the staff at the clinic in Provincetown? Are there specific things that you need? Are there specific things that we can do to support the team? I imagine the stress level is pretty high.
Hi, this is Pat Nadel. Thank you so much for offering. We have gotten such incredible response from our community and donations of masks, and whether they be face shields from someone or masks that people are making in response to folks that are saying that we can use them for our patients and ourselves. Right now, our staff is working really well with, you know, all of the efforts that we have, and hope that we can continue to do that. They are bolstered clearly by your support, and you know, I would ask you to reach out to us if you have something that perhaps is, you know, folks are donating gloves and face masks and regular masks. But please don't hesitate to do that. Our staff is very appreciative, and we are working very hard to make sure they have the tools to do the job that needs to do to help you be well and stay well.
Great. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Thank you. And I'll just let you know my experience. I went to Outer Cape Health yesterday in Provincetown for a visit. And it was nice to see that on the way in, they had a nurse stationed there that asked me a list of questions, had the hand sanitizer there, took my temperature, and then gave me a face mask to wear while I was in the building. So that was nice to see.
Well, thank you for that. You know what? I think it's very important. You know, our main goal right now is to keep the community safe and also to keep our staff safe. So we are trying very hard to question folks. Maybe even take temperatures, ask you to wear a mask so that we can reduce down the community spread. You know, the efforts to stay distant, we can't encourage enough to please keep the distance, wash your hands, and do all the things that are being suggested. This is the only way we're going to be able to keep this curve down and respond within the community. You know, we are there as a health center, and if we do all these efforts together, we won't be overwhelmed, and we can continue to meet your needs. So thank you so much, because we are all in this together, and that is very true.
Before we leave the subject, someone mentioned about volunteers and how to help. And since we have Sean still answering questions here, Sean, could you tell people just a little bit about the Reserve Corps and what that is? Because I know that there's been a lot of people who are wanting to volunteer, and I think that this is a great avenue for them to be aware of.
Absolutely. So we actually, through the Department of Health and Environment, actually sponsor the Cape Cod Medical Reserve Corps. That is a group of folks that assist during medical, actually during all types of emergencies, but with public health emergencies, they are, in many cases, retired doctors, nurses, et cetera, who can provide support in these situations. So we're always looking for volunteers, and we're always especially looking for volunteers on the Outer Cape. And it's not just for public health emergencies, but it could also be for weather-related emergencies as well, assistance with sheltering and everything. So if folks go to the Barnstable County website, so I'll give it to you, the Barnstable County Health website, which is www.barnstablecountyhealth.org. You can follow, you'll see right away a link to our Medical Reserve Corps. There should be applications there, et cetera, to help out with this. And if and Robin, if you'd like, I can provide you with even direct links to the website for the town website as well.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you. Turn it back over to Amy.
Yes. Another question is, please explain the reasoning for suspending the town order and following the governor's order. Are you willing to object or ignore any state law that goes against the interest of the people of Provincetown?
So this is Steve Katsarinas from the Board of Health, and I will discuss what the Board of Health's thinking was. And a little bit of the history here without going into too much detail. But the Board of Health and I think the Select Board were both concerned before the governor issued his executive order that we felt that we needed to have a shelter in place. And so the Select Board declared a state of emergency, and in response, the Board of Health issued a shelter-in-place order. And we didn't have the benefit of knowing what the governor was going to do a day later. So our order and the governor's order differed in a few ways, which, depending on your perspective, are significant or insignificant. But as a matter of public policy and a matter of public health policy, we believe that having two conflicting orders would be very confusing for people. And as Senator Scheer mentioned, having a united effort statewide to try to have everyone understand the rules and the expectations seemed to make the most sense to us. And so we withdrew our order during the pendency of the governor's order, which has now been extended through May 4th. And we believe that we made the right decision. Obviously, we made different choices when we were the governors of Provincetown for a day, and we decided what we thought made sense. But to have two orders or different sets of orders and to have different orders in Provincetown than are in Truro and Wellfleet, we don't think is good public policy. And so while we all have our opinions about what we would like to see, this is, we think, the best option. If there, we don't believe that the governor's orders are in any way harmful, and so we are not looking for ways to quibble with the governor's orders. They are, again, not exactly what we chose, but they are enforceable, and we're comfortable working with them. And I will say that as over the last 10 days, as issues have blown up on in town around specific things like Airbnb, the governor's office has been responsive in coming in and providing clarification, which allows us to all operate off the same page and to make enforcement of this order very simple for all of us in town. So I think where we are now and through May 4th is a good place. And if there comes a time when the governor's order expires and we still believe that public health and safety require additional or different orders, then we reserve the right to implement those. But for now, we're going to follow the governor's orders.
Steve, you just mentioned the short-term rentals. Could you maybe follow up on some of the guidance that was given earlier by Sarah Peake? Because I think you guys put out some guidance today around short-term rentals and what you were doing with the websites that were offering short-term rentals. I saw there was some guidance coming from Town Hall today. Maybe that's Robin or you.
Well, I'll tell what I know, and then, of course, Robin is welcome to add to it. You know, one of the great things about the way that this unfolded, because it's statewide, is that we're able to work, and our licensing office and code enforcement have been great about working not just with individual owners where they put out information about what the governor's order means to them, but also with Airbnb and VRBO and others that are operating on a global level but have had listings in Provincetown. And they are cooperating with us in bringing those listings down so that people are not able to book for vacation purposes that are not permitted. And so we're very pleased with, one, the voluntary compliance. A lot of VRBO and Airbnb people who expressed their opposition to the rule have also indicated, once it was clear what the rule was, that they would fully comply. And, you know, we appreciate that. That's what we're seeing across the board, is people are supporting and complying with the expectations so that we can all stay safe and we can help keep people alive. So we appreciate that. So the enforcement that is going on is happening on an electronic level, and it's cooperative with others, and we are very pleased with the results. And I don't know if you want to add anything to that, Robin.
No, I think you was very complete and thorough.
What is Outer Cape's Health's testing capacity and protocol? Some tests are available. How many? When are more expected? And how many and how regularly? What is the protocol for determining who will receive the test? And we know that the tests are hard to get. Is there any way we can advocate to get more? We know we need more widespread testing here as soon as possible.
Hi, this is Pat Needle. It is hard to hear you over the whatever banging on the line. So it would be great if you could mute. We have adequate testing supplies right now. We are testing in our Wellfleet site each day, Monday through Friday, and that's we do that to preserve our testing supplies and our protective equipment. So that is important. We also can do it in Provincetown for folks who who have a difficulty with transportation, and on Saturday when we're open in the health center there, we do our testing there. We have are following all the guidelines that are that maybe get adjusted on a periodic basis to be able to review with individuals whether they meet the criteria for testing.
I'm sorry to have you repeat, but I think it's important that people are able to hear your answer. So if you could go over what you had just told us, please.
Certainly, I'd be happy to. We are continuing to test in our Wellfleet site on a Monday through Friday basis, and we have adequate appointment times to get folks in fairly quickly. When you call our health center, any of the health centers, and we will connect you quickly with one of our clinicians who will review with you by phone your symptoms, the criteria for meeting eligibility for testing, and then if you do meet that eligibility, we'll get you an appointment at the Wellfleet Health Center for the testing. It is done outside as you drive up to the side of the building. It is done there, and in the past week or so, we've done the flu testing first and had you wait there for about 15 minutes for the flu test result to come back, and now we're just going to eliminate that step and move right into just the COVID testing itself. Our results go to the Quest Lab. That is the quickest for us. It is the best process. They have a good transportation system of the specimen themselves, and we are getting our results back within a day or two, tops. But we also, if there's a transportation issue in Provincetown, can provide the test there at the site. And on Saturdays when we're open, we do the testing there exclusively so that we have availability. So we have enough supplies, enough swabs, enough test kits right now. And Quest has been excellent providing us with adequate supplies so that we hope to continue to be able to do this and be able to serve the serve individuals as they need to.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Amy, I think we're going to try to take a couple questions from callers if we looks like we're getting close to the end. And mm-hmm. I know we still probably have a lot of questions. If you'd like to ask a question, please hit *6 to unmute your phone, state your name, and I'll recognize you to ask your question.
Hi, I have a question.
Sure, state your name.
Yeah, Mike McGill. I'm a full-time resident.
Sure, Mike, go ahead.
I'm also a veterinarian. I just want to raise awareness about the fact that, you know, having lived through the AIDS pandemic, that animals will be an important concern for some people who are sick and not able to care for them. And I think as a town, we need to think about ways to support those people and their pets. That's all.
Thank you.
So Dave, this is Steve Katsarinas, and I'd like to just mention, as we do as the Department of Health contacts daily everyone who is tested positive, we provide a variety of services to them. We inquire about their situation, so we make sure that people have food, access to medical care. Part of our goal, beyond the care of that person and their immediate family, is also to care and make sure that there is care for their family members that are pets. And so we are very holistic in the way we approach it. If there are people, likewise, who are not among the people that we are caring for because we believe them to be positive, but they need help through the animal control office at the police station, we're able to work to make sure that pets are cared for regardless of the situation. So, but we specifically are engaging with people around the question if they are positive for coronavirus, whether they have a pet, and if the pet's needs need any attention, and we're providing that. So everyone should be very confident that we know how to do this and that we are doing it effectively.
Thank you.
Do we have another question? *6 to unmute. I'll ask again. Anybody have a question? Steve, do you mind if I ask you one question? Because I think we're near the end, and I know there's still a lot of questions, but town staff will get answers for all of them and post them online and push them out to social media. But I see one on here, and I've heard it come up a few times. What is being done to ensure those who have traveled here from hotspots are strictly self-quarantining?
So I appreciate the question. And, you know, there's been information about how to manage folks who have traveled here. In response also partly to the question about community spread, we are taking the view now that everyone, regardless of where they've been, whether they have been in Provincetown all winter or whether they have been elsewhere and have returned, that everyone needs to stay in their home as much as possible, only going out for essential purposes. We want to make sure that people can do that. So if anybody is having any difficulty with getting food or medical care, they should reach out. We have social service agencies, and the Board of Health and the Department of Health is happy to help coordinate all of that. But at the end of the day, although we understand that there is potentially some risk with people coming from places of higher levels of infection, it would be wrong to assume that because someone was in Provincetown for the entire winter, that they're not capable of catching or transmitting the virus. Anybody, I've said this before, anybody who's been on planet Earth through the month of March is at risk for having, getting, and transferring the virus. So if there are people who are from out of town, one of the considerations that we have unique to them is the possibility that they may not have a primary care physician here in Provincetown who's able to respond to them. We will ensure that they get medical care, but it is a logistical challenge, and it's one of the reasons why in one of our early orders we did not want to encourage people whose primary care physician is not here to come here because of the risk of not being able to provide them the best possible care. So that said, if you're in and you need anything in terms of medical care or supports, you need to reach out because we'll see that your needs are met. And if you have been outside of Provincetown or if you've been in Provincetown the entire winter, please maintain your distance from other people. Only go out of your home for exercise, food, medicine, and otherwise stay safe.
Thank you. I realize it looks like, Amy, that we're near the end, but I was just going to ask Robin if she had some final info to share.
Thank you. I'd like to, just as I'm sitting here and listening to the answers that you're giving, I just want to thank both of you for your leadership, for our staff, and you've done a great job in trying to help us get information out, and we feel very supported. So thank you.
Okay, and I think we have reached the end of our time allotted for this session, unless there's something else that you would like to say, David?
Well, one, I'll just remind people that the questions that sent in, there was quite a few. If you still have questions, please send them in to Town Hall. They are going to get answers and post the answers online and push it out through social media. And as somebody myself who works for a small business, if there's any small businesses listening out there, please talk to your banks, your lenders, and anybody that's got auto loans or mortgages. You know, they're willing to make deferments and help you with either payroll protection loans, small business loans. Just talk to them. The banks have been very good that I have talked to. So just talk to your bank, talk to your local chamber or the business guild. They are willing to help out. With that, I'll turn it back over to Amy.
David, I just wanted to thank you for this is Stephen Cohen, for mentioning that the questions will be posted. It would be really helpful if on the town website, the main COVID button leads to all of the COVID information. It doesn't do that right now. And so it would be very helpful in terms of getting the answers, which we really appreciate, if it was very, very clear in terms of navigation. So one button, and then, you know, we'd see the answers would be much appreciated.
And we definitely hear you there. The town's website is very difficult to navigate. It's a little more different than most websites that most of us are used to. So it's definitely
Yeah, thank you for addressing or taking that into consideration. Much appreciated.
If I could add something, we will. The box that's on the front page of the web page is limited to what we can link to. So it's unfortunate that you need to click on that box, and then that box takes you to this place that has two or three hot links. One of those will go to the Board of Health. One of them will go to a lot of the town information. I encourage everyone to check those and take a look at those. But in addition, we did hear that it's difficult for some to continue to try and navigate, especially for the new information. So we have started pushing our information out to our Facebook page as well as the community pages. So once that is completed, we will push that out, and you will see it being reposted on the community pages.
Thank you.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Well, thank you, everyone, for listening and for submitting questions and asking questions during this session. And we will have information on the website, as you've been told. And we look forward to being able to see each other in person again. I think I can speak for everyone. So everyone stay well. And again, thank you for participating.